Etias, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes 4:9, and one more Mishnah on the topic of Yibam. Again, this Mishnah appears in Yivamos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hey. So, again, the background. When a woman falls to Yibam, meaning her husband died and left no surviving descendants, so she has a zika, a bond with her brother-in-law, which she has either resolved through Yibam or Chalitza. Until then, she can't marry anybody else. And that really is very similar to a situation in which a woman has entered the first stage of marriage, called Kedushin, or Erisin, where a man gives a woman a ring, in which case she can't marry anybody else until she resolves their relationship, and it comes to a conclusion either through a divorce, a get, or the death of the husband. So the rabbis felt that the situation of the Shomeres Yavam, the woman who's waiting to get have Yibam done, is very much analogous to a woman who is an Arusa, who's like sort of already entered into marriage, because both are equally forbidden to the Shuk, to the general marketplace of men. And therefore the rabbi said, we treat this woman who is awaiting Yibam much like a married woman. And just like when a person marries a woman, when a man gives a woman a ring and says, we're at Mekudeshali, and she accepts the ring, so then her part of her family becomes forbidden to him as a new set of arayos, meaning prior to the marriage, this woman's mother or her sister were equally fair game to the man. But once the man marries her, so her mother, her sister, etc., become off limits to him, really forever. So although they're not blood relatives, they are like family, and the rules of arayos kick in. So the rabbis felt the same way that a woman who's awaiting Yibum is sort of, feels like she's sort of married to this man, and therefore they want to treat it, at least rabbinically, as if like her family members, like her sisters and her mother, should also be forbidden to him. Okay, now that's part one, and that's the setup for this Mishnah. Part two for the setup of this Mishnah is as follows. Prior to Yibum, which basically just boils down to the widow moving in to the bed of the Yavam, her brother-in-law. So there's an institution that precedes that, which is called Mimer, or Ma'amar, right? And the Mimer process really is super analogous to the Kedushin process. The same way prior to a woman living with a man, like husband and wife, Nisuin, prior to that functional marriage, there's the legal first step called Kedushin, where he gives her something of value, kesef, shava kesef, or even a shtar, a contract, and says, "Harei mekudesh li b'tabatzu." Through this giving of this ring, let's say you become mekudeshes to me, designated to be mine, and forbidden to everybody else. So there's something very similar that happens called mimer prior to yibum. Now, the essential machlokus of our mishnah is that institution called mimer, is that a rabbinic enactment, or is it something that exists already on the Torah level, and there'll be a nafka mina which the mishnah will bring out. Okay, so the setup of our Mishnah is that you have two brothers. Now, these two brothers married two sisters. Okay, now, these two brothers, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon, married two sisters, we'll call them Rachel and Leah. So Reuven marries Rachel, Shimon marries Leah. Okay, and they have a third brother whose name is Levi. Now, if Reuven and Shimon die, leaving no living offspring, so then both Rachel and Leah now fall to Yibum. Okay, there's really two separate mitzvahs here. We have to resolve the legacy of Reuven, the Reuven or Chalitza. So that's now Rachel's job to resolve that. And then we have to resolve the legacy of Shimon, again through Yibum or Chalitza. That's Leah's job to resolve that. Now, Levi may not marry, do Yibum, with either Rachel or Leah on a rabbinic level, because since he already has like a zika with Rachel, it's as if rabbinically he's sort of married to her. Therefore, he can't marry Leah because it's like his sort of wife's sister. And similarly, he can't marry Leah because Leah, he's already sort of married to Leah's sister, rabbinically, if you will, through the zika, Rachel. So therefore, he has no, rabbinically, he has no option of doing Yibum with either of these two women. He has to give Chalitza to both of them. Okay, that's the base case. But what happens if Levi, what the scenario is as follows. First, Reuven dies, and he leaves a widow. And that's the only widow in the story here. And then Levi gives Rachel, the widow, mimer. He gives her a ring and says, we're going to get married next month. And she accepts the ring, and they're going to do marriage through Yibum. Fine. So now the mimer's in place. And then Shimon dies, also without any living descendants, leaving Leah his widow as well. Now, if the mimer functions like Kiddushin and it's a marriage on a Doraisa level, so prior to Shimon dying, Levi and Rachel were already married, like Kiddushin, right, the first step of marriage, and therefore that bond exists. When Leah appears on the scene as now a widow, she's not eligible to marry Levi because he's already like he's married to Rachel already, the first stage of marriage. And therefore, Leah should just go free, have a nice life, and Levi and Rachel can get married and have a nice life, and everything will be wonderful. But that's only if the mimer that exists between Leah and Rachel is something which is real on a Doraisa level. If it's only on a rabbinic level, so there's not a real marriage or bond between the two, so we're back to essentially the situation of both Rachel and Leah are both needing to have Yibum done to them. Each one is a Zika to Levi. It's as if he's sort of married to each one, therefore the other one is prohibited to him rabbinically, therefore he has no option to do Yibum with either. He has to send both of them away with Chalitza. And in fact, in addition, since Levi did Mamer with Rachel, and that's like a rabbinic, it's not real, but it's a rabbinic marriage, if you will, also, besides for Chalitza, which Rachel needs to resolve the legacy of her late husband Reuven, Rachel will also need a get, rabbinically need a get from Levi before she can marry anybody else, because it's like she's rabbinically married to him. So in other words, that'll mean that if you look at Mimer's being Durabanan, so then Rachel will need both a chalitza to resolve her late husband's legacy and a get from Levi, both those things, before Rachel can marry anybody else. And Leah will need to have a chalitza. Yibum's not an option, Durabanan, but Leah has to get a chalitza before she can marry anybody in the shuk. And then after that, poor Levi's left all alone again with no wives and nobody, and he's sad. Okay, so that is the Mishnah in a nutshell. Let's see it inside here. It says, Shlosha Achim, you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shnai Mehem Nesuim L'shtei Achayos. Two of them, Reuven and Shimon, married two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Ve'echad Mufne, and the third of the brothers, Levi, is available. Okay, the simple reading meaning he has no other wife, and that's not essential for the story, meaning the halachos would be the same with respect to Rachel and Leah, even if he had an unrelated wife, he's just married to some random woman, you know, Penelope, who has no connection to Rachel and Leah, then the same rules would apply. But because of the kind of the punchline end of the Mishnah, we want him to be have no other wife, so he's sort of all alone, because we're going to accentuate sort of the tragedy of him being all alone till the end. Okay, now, Meis Echad Meba'ale Achayos. One of the two brothers who are married to one of the two sisters dies. So Reuven dies, leaving Rachel as a widow who needs to have Yibum or Chalitza. Va'asa bah mufne ma'amar. And the mufne, the available brother, meaning Levi, now does ma'amar, gives a ring to Rachel and says, with this ring, we're committing to get married through Yibum, and we'll do that at a later date. Now, before the later date arrives, va'achar kach, after that, meis achiv hasheni, the second brother, meaning Shimon, he dies, leaving another widow, Leah, who needs to have, you know, Yibum or Chalitza done to her. So, Beishame Omrim, Beishame say, Ishto Imo, his wife stays with him, meaning Levi gets to keep his wife Rachel because he gave her Ma'amar prior to Shimon dying, and the Ma'amar is a real thing on a Doraisa level, so they're married. They're already married, and therefore, now that Levi's married to Rachel through Ma'amar, like the equivalent of being like, you know, an Arusa, having given the ring, etc., so now Leah, the widow, is sort of irrelevant. She can't mess up that marriage because Levi's already married to Leah's sister. So therefore, Leah's free to go. And Levi keeps Rachel, his wife, and they will proceed to do Yibum and get married. The basis of that, the Doraisa notion, as far as base Shammai is concerned, is that the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Hei, 25.5, which talks about Yibum, says, Yivma Yavo Aleha. That's the Yibum mitzvah, that they sleep together to effect Yibum. But, ulakacha lo leisha, and he will take her as a wife. Now that, according to Beis Shammai, is miyutar, it's superfluous. And this lashon of lekicha, of taking, is the same exact word that's used to express, you know, kedushin, ki yikach ish isha, right? The same way, you know, like kicha, kicha, mistei Ephron, the expression of kicha, lekicha, taking, is an expression that alludes or refers to something like kedushin. And that being the case, as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, this Maimer issue is a fulfillment of that pasuk, of the requirement to take her formally through a kinyan of Kedushin, or the equivalent Maimer, prior to the Yibum. So since it's a real Doraisa thing, Levi and Rachel are married through Maimer prior to Shimon's death, and therefore Shimon leaving his widow Leah, poor Leah has nothing to do but to go free and find someone else to marry. There's no brother she can marry anymore, because the only surviving brother-in-law she has, Levi, is already married through Maimer to her sister. Okay, that's Beis Shammai's position. But, I don't know if I read this, I can remember, it says, Ishto Imo, Levi keeps his wife Rachel after Maimer, Vahala, and the other one, meaning Leah, the second widow, Teitzei, she's free to go, marry whomever she wants, Mishum Achos Isha, because of the restriction of Levi ever having to, the possibility of marrying her, because she is the sister of his wife. Levi's wife is Rachel, Leah's Rachel's sister, therefore Leah can never marry Levi, so she's free to go. Beis Hillel, however, Omrim Motzi es Ishto Beget V'chalitza. Beis Hillel say, listen, this Maimer thing is rabbinic. It's not, on a Dorais level, significant. And therefore we have two women, Rachel and Leah, both of whom are still need to resolve the Zika they have with Levi. And since rabbinically, Levi's already kind of like married to each of them, and therefore each one's kind of like family to him, and therefore each sister is kind of like an erva to him, rabbinically. He can't marry either one of them because he's married to her sister already, kinda, Midr Rabbanan. And therefore, he has no option but to perform chalitza with both of them. So when it comes to Rachel, the one with whom we did Maimer, in addition to chalitza, which will resolve the Reuven legacy issue, he has to give her, like I said before, he has to give her a get, because they did a Maimer, which is a rabbinic marriage, and the get will undo the rabbinic marriage. So therefore the Mishnah says, Motzias Ishto, Levi has to essentially divorce his wife, quote-unquote wife, Rachel, both beget, with a get, to free her from the marriage part, v'chalita, to free her from the Zika part, and resolve that. V'es Eishas Achiv, and as for the other widow, who is the wife of his late brother Shimon, b'chalita, also Levi must do chalitza to free her up to marry somebody else. He cannot do Yibum because he kind of is already married to the sister, or was through in the past, and therefore it's like a rabbinic marrying a sister of your wife. Zuhi Sha'amru, this was the case, the sad case that Beis Hillel is speaking out here that we have in our Mishnah, is the case that the rabbis referred to as Ilo al Ishto v'ilo al Eishes Achiv. E is kind of like oi, like woe. It's a sad story. Woe to Elo, poor Levi al Ishto, that he loses his wife Rachel, and Ve'ilo al Eishes Achiv, and poor Levi also loses the other would-be wife, Leah, who he could have married if Rachel hadn't been on the scene at all. So he loses both of them, and there it's sort of like a tragedy. The point is that at the end of the day, Levi remains single. Rachel and Leah now have to find their way as widows, and poor Reuven and Shimon don't have any you know, even to continue on their legacy. The reason why the Mishnah originally said that Levi is mufni, he's unmarried, is to sort of emphasize this Elo, poor Levi, has no one to be married to. If Levi were married to another woman, then again, the same rules would apply as Mishnah would say, but then it wouldn't be such a great tragedy for Levi, because at least he could have another wife. Now Levi's left with no wife.